Good evening. Welcome to the Wednesday night service. It is good to be back with you this evening by way of internet and also through our phone system. And what a great week. Had a good service on Sunday. And we're making preparations to get back in the building. Our goal is to be back in the building by May the 31st. And church family, we will be sending you information on how we're going to do that. Obviously, we can't all come in at one time, and so we've come up with a plan, our staff has, that we will be getting to you in the next few days. But we're excited, we're moving forward and making progress, and so we appreciate you tuning in tonight. So we're going to pray and then have a couple songs, and Brother Jimmy's going to be preaching for us tonight, so we're excited to hear from him. And looking for a great service tonight. So let's pray together, and then we'll have a couple songs, get right into the message. And again, thank you for tuning in tonight. And again, I know it is unusual, but I'm thankful for some technology. I know oftentimes we talk negatively about the technology, but if we didn't have it, guess what? We wouldn't be able to come into your home with the message from God's Word tonight. So let's pray, and then we'll have a couple songs and get right into the message. And you are ready to preach, aren't you? Amen. He's ready to preach. We're going to have a good one tonight. So let's pray together. Father, we come to you tonight, and we're thankful for your blessings. We're thankful for your hand of protection upon us. And Lord, how often we take the blessings of God for granted. And so this evening, as we come to you, we ask you, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts through the Word of God. Use the song, the singing from the choir, the special song from one of our singers to stir us and remind us of the goodness of God. And Lord, we're so unworthy of your blessings, but we're thankful. And so by way of internet and by way of phone, those listening in, I pray that you bless them for their faithfulness. And Lord, if there's one that does not know Jesus Christ as Savior, touch that heart and show them their need of salvation today and save them before it's eternally too late. And Father, for everything that's accomplished here, we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Oh, city of jasper walls and bright golden avenues. As you behold all its beauty and its splendor, remember there's just one request I make of you.
Good evening. I appreciate the opportunity to preach this evening. Before we get into the message, I would like to tell everyone of our members that were able to participate in the mailing. I really appreciate you stepping forward, and I appreciate it because Pastor and I had already decided if we didn't get 5,000 letters that we was going to do the rest of them, but we didn't get 5,000. We got over 6,200, so I really appreciate you stepping up and doing that. And we've had really several people ask for more, and they ask when you're going to do it again. So we will do it again soon, and I appreciate, again, all that everybody did to do that. Well, we're going to pray first, and then we're going to get into the message. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be in the house of God. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to preach this evening. Lord, I pray that you would help us. Lord, help the listener to hear the Word of God. And then, Lord, as we hear the Word of God, help us to do the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we'll start out the message with a couple of expressions that I'm sure that you have heard before. One is, where were you when the lights went out? And of course, that's a joke. You were in the dark. And then you hear, too, where were you when 9/11 happened? Where were you when John F. Kennedy was shot? And I know Pastor's saying he wasn't anywhere, but I was. And so there's certain things that happen in the world that everybody remembers where they are when it happened. And 20 years from now, if the Lord tarries, is coming,
people will be saying, I remember back when COVID-19 happened. I mean, it has affected the world, and we're going to remember what happened. And so the title of the message today is, Where Were You When COVID-19 Arrived? We're going to be reading scriptures, Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 35. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 35. And the Bible reads, And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Now it's important that we see right here that it says he went to Jerusalem to worship. It did not say that he did worship in Jerusalem. Verse 28 says, Was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, which said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Preached unto him Jesus. That's what needs to be preached. That's what needs to be proclaimed is Jesus Christ. It's not that important where you have church at this time of COVID-19. It's not this church is doing it this way and that church is doing it that way. And that's fine. But what's important is when they are at church, when they're having church, are they proclaiming Jesus Christ? Are we proclaiming, are you proclaiming Jesus Christ? The desert was Philip's COVID-19. I would imagine that later on in Philip's life, that when he told about the desert story in his life, when he told people, he remembered where he was before God put him in the middle of the desert. Before God sent him on that long journey from where he was up in Samaria, and he traveled down into Gaza, and I looked at the map and see where Jerusalem was, where the eunuch went to, and where Philip was up in Samaria, and then he went down, and both of them met in Gaza. Philip probably left Samaria before the eunuch ever got to Jerusalem. Because God knew where he wanted him to be, God knew where the eunuch was going to be, and that's exactly where he put Philip at. So where was Philip when his desert came, when his COVID-19 came? He was where he was supposed to be. Where was Philip before he went to the desert? He started out ministering to widows in Jerusalem. He wasn't a preacher to start with. He wasn't a deacon to start with. He wasn't a big name evangelist to start with. He was simply a mere man. He had to leave Jerusalem because of great persecution of the church after the stoning of Stephen. If you read in the book of Acts, you read about Stephen, and then you read about Philip. Stephen was stoned to death because he preached Jesus. Verse 5 of that same chapter says, Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed, and there was great joy in that city. Can you imagine the amount of joy that was in that city? Now this is a city where Jesus had been. This is the city where the woman at the well was. And this is a city that had heard of Jesus before, and they knew what Philip was preaching about. And they were glad to see a man of God come once again to touch and to heal these people and to proclaim the Word of God once again. And where he was, you might say it was a revival going on there in Samaria. And you would think that God would just leave him right there. He's doing a great work and he's doing a great job. And it's seeming like he was exactly where God wanted him. He was exactly where God wanted him. But sometimes God has other places, other things for us to do than what we think we should be doing. Now, it's easy to be where you're supposed to be when everything is going good. I mean, all these people were coming to him. He didn't have to go out and knock on the door because they heard and they went out and told people. The people, listen to this now, see if this sounds familiar. The people went out and told other people where the preacher was. The people went out and told other people where they could hear the gospel. The people went out and told the other people where God was doing something. That's what we're supposed to be doing as Christian, is going out and telling other people where the house of God is, where the Word of God is being preached. It's easy to be where you're supposed to be when the crowds are coming in. It's easy to be where you're supposed to be when they're patting you on the back. Now, I don't know, but I would imagine a lot of people were telling Philip, thank you for being here. Thank you for coming to see us. Thank you for healing my family. Thank you for healing this person. Thank you for casting out that devil. Thank you for telling me the gospel. And they were patting him on the back and saying, Philip, what a great man you are. It's easy to be where you're supposed to be when everybody's patting you on the back. It's easy to be where you're supposed to be when you have the recognition of the brethren. Verse 14 says, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Now listen, that's as high as up you can get. This is Peter and John. And they're coming down to see what this deacon's doing in Samaria. Or rather, going up to see what this deacon is doing in Samaria. They've heard something great going on. And they said, hey, I want to be part of this. I want to check this out. And they go up there and they see what Philip's doing. A great thing going on there. And Philip, I don't know if it was me. I'd have to think to myself, I know I'm right in the center of where God wants me. God is allowing me to do things for Him. People are thanking me for what I'm doing, that God is doing through me. The brethren have come. The apostles have come to see what I'm doing. They have approved of what I'm doing. I know I'm right where God wants me to be. But what about being where you're supposed to be when all that goes away? A preacher can tell you this, it's easier to preach to a church full of people on Sunday morning than it is to preach to a church a third full on Wednesday night. It'd be a lot easier to preach Wednesday night if the church was full. But you preach where God puts you. You teach where God puts you. You proclaim the gospel where God puts you. So he was where he was supposed to be, and then he heard from God. Verse 26 says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now, Philip knew what Gaza was. He knew what kind of place it was. I looked up on the map and looked it up to see what kind of place it was. And we don't think about this, but Gaza's right on the ocean. And boy, you stand there in Gaza and you can look, oh, look at that pretty ocean. And then you look back here, and it's not a little bit of sand. But it's sand and sand and sand and nothing for miles. And so that's where he sent Philip. With everything going so good, you think when you hear from God, it wasn't time yet for Philip to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. That's not what he heard. He heard, Philip, I need you to go down to the desert. But if it's from God, it is good news. It don't matter what it is. It might seem bad to the flesh, but if it's from God, it's good for the spirit. God has allowed the church to go into the desert. I'm looking at a wasteland of empty pews this evening. He has allowed us to go into an area where we've never been before. We're going to an area where we would not have chosen to go. But we're going. We're still here, but everything has changed. We hadn't went anywhere, but all the circumstances have changed, and God wants us to just keep doing what we were doing. Amen. So God tells him to go down to the desert, and Philip obeyed immediately. Verse 27 says, and he arose and went. There was no pause. There was no storyline in between. The angel said, go to the desert, and Philip arose and went. But when we're told to do something like that, we're too tied down to our three-time-a-week routine. Yes. If God's going to tell us something, surely He's going to tell us Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night.
Come on.
And if He don't, well, I'll be back next service. We need to be where God wants us to be all the time.
Yes. Yes.
So what was Philip's routine? Well, as I said, he was ministering to the widows. Maybe he was taking food. Maybe they needed a little bit of money. Maybe they needed some clothes. Maybe they needed transportation. But that was Philip and six others' men's job was to do that. Now listen to this. The first one had already been killed. But Philip just kept doing what he was doing. But he did have to leave Jerusalem. But when he got somewhere else, he just kept doing what he was doing. And matter of fact, he started doing a little more. Well, how did he get the job of ministering to the widows? Being full of the Holy Ghost and having a good report.
Right.
Now, you know how you get the Holy Ghost? You're saved. You got the Holy Ghost when you were saved. But to be full of the Holy Ghost and to have a good report means that you are doing what you're supposed to do.
Right.
When you ask people, when somebody asks someone about you, do they say, yeah, that's a Christian? And they say, I don't know. If you're doing what you're supposed to do, they'll say, yeah, that's a Christian. They might not like it. They might not like it, but they will say, that's a Christian. And that's a good report. What were you doing for God before COVID-19? Before COVID-19 came, before the church had to stop meeting inside a building, what were you doing then? Maybe God is trying to tell you that you need to be doing something. If you weren't doing anything then, surely God has your attention. And if you're His child, He has something for you to do. God is not using COVID-19 to do something to the church. He's trying to do something through the church. We're too busy trying to rationalize why we shouldn't be in the desert. Well, the governor shouldn't have done that. Well, I don't think he should have either, but that don't mean we're supposed to stop doing what we need to do.
Right.
Well, Trump didn't do it right. Well, China didn't do it right. CDC didn't do it right. Fauci didn't do it right. Quit worrying about what everybody else didn't do right and make sure you are doing right.
Hey.
Remember this. It's important to stay in God's will. Now listen. If you know that you are in God's will before you go into the desert, then you know the desert is God's will. If you're in God's will, nothing can happen to you that's not God's will. He has allowed it to happen. He has allowed you to be in that circumstance, and He will give you the knowledge of what to do in that circumstance. And you say, I've got to get out of this desert. If God puts you in the desert, just keep doing what God said do, and He'll get you out of the desert. God knows where you went in and out, and He knows where you need to go out at. You say, well, how do you know if you're in God's will? And I'm going to make this as simple as I can put it. When you go to bed at night, can you say to God, Lord, thank you for helping me do everything you asked me to do today? As a Christian, as a born-again Christian, can you lay your head down at night and say that you did everything today that God wanted you to do? If you did, you are in God's will. But now, it's not just speaking the words. Can you honestly talk to God and say that? Not to me, not to the pastor. Can you talk to God and say that? Then you're in God's will. So Philip continued to obey. So he went down to the desert. Verse 29 says, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him. But when tough gets going, we say, I can't. I heard something all my life. My dad told me, I heard other people say it all my life. Can't, never could do nothing. When your mindset is, I can't, I'll agree with you, you can't. But you've got to get out of that mindset because you're not looking for what you can do, you're looking for what God can do through you. Philip couldn't have done it either, but it got done anyway. Notice the Bible says, Philip ran. Now, if I'm wrong on this scripture and you can show me, that's fine. Or if I'm wrong, we get to heaven and I find out about it. But this is the way I understand this right here. Why did Philip run? Because he had to catch up to the horse. Philip joined himself to the chariot in verse 30. The chariot didn't stop until verse 38. Now, how did he catch a horse-drawn chariot? He didn't. God did. He getting out running a horse. God wanted him to be there. He said, Philip, you go join yourself to that chariot. And Philip took a step. He started in the direction that God wanted him to do, and God got him there. And he joined himself to that chariot. Now, I can only imagine in my mind that he ran and grabbed onto the side of that chariot and stood on the edge of it somehow. He joined himself to the chariot. We know he didn't get in it because he got in it later. So he ran and joined himself to the chariot. Well, let's look at the Ethiopian. Verse 27 says, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot read Isaiah the prophet. Now the Bible says he went to Jerusalem to worship. Did he go to worship with the Jews? Had he heard about Jesus? We don't know. But he went to Jerusalem to worship. But Jerusalem was in an uproar. The Christians had been run out, or they had been killed, except for the apostles. And they had run them out. And maybe when he got there, they might have looked at him and said, are you a Christian? We don't know. But we do know Jerusalem at that point in time was in an uproar. He left Jerusalem bewildered. But God sent Philip to lead him out of the desert. Imagine going, he made it traveling to Ethiopia on as far as the continent of Africa. It's not that far from Egypt. So he had to go to Egypt and then cross over into Israel and then go to Jerusalem. But he made a long journey back then. He didn't hop on a plane. He didn't get in a car. He didn't have a boat. So he made a long journey there to worship. There was something in him. God had put something in him to have a desire to understand more about God. He wanted to find out who God. He wanted God. And he went to there to worship. But when he left, he still didn't know any more than he did when he got there. During this pandemic, there are people that are bewildered. Now, I know some that ain't bothered a bit. But some are worried to death. I mean, some, they just don't want to do anything. Because they're afraid they're going to get that. And I know there's people that are more susceptible and they have to watch out. But I'm talking about people that's just really, they don't know anything. All they can do is worry about COVID-19. If God could give Philip someone to witness to in the middle of the desert, he can show you someone to witness to in the middle of a pandemic. We can't do it the same way we were doing it. But there are ways that you can do it. And I will promise you, if you're a child of God and you will ask God to show you somebody to witness to, he will give you somebody to witness to.
Amen. That's right.
He knew where he was. He knew he was where God warned him, and he knew the scriptures.
Right.
The Bible says to study to show thyself approved. He didn't spend 2 hours telling him who Isaiah was. That's not what this eunuch needed to know. We can't tell people about Jesus if we don't know the Word of God. The Bible says that the eunuch was reading out of the Old Testament, which that's all there was. Philip didn't have the New Testament. And I'm going to read some scriptures here. He didn't have those scriptures, but that's what he told him. We'll get to it in a minute. But he didn't worry about, okay, now, you know, Isaiah was a prophet and this person was king and Israel had this king. And he didn't tell him all that. He preached unto him Jesus. So what did he preach to him? He proclaimed man's lost conditions. For all his sin, he comes short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. He proclaimed God's love, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. He proclaimed the death, burial, and resurrection. So, well, how do you know that's what he said? Because that's what it takes for somebody to be saved. And the eunuch got saved, so I know Philip had to tell him that because the eunuch didn't know. There's somebody out there that don't know what you know, and you need to tell them. It is your responsibility as a Christian to learn how to lead somebody to Christ. You say, oh, Philip was a deacon. Philip was a preacher. Philip started out as a Christian of good report. So get yourself to the point where you are a Christian of good report, and God will give you somebody to witness to. Philip never said, it's not fair. He didn't say, now, Lord, you told me I was supposed to take care of the widows, and then you let me be persecuted. I had to run, Lord, and I'm up here in Samaria, and that's just not fair. You don't see anywhere where Philip said that. He said, Lord, now, I don't understand that, Lord. Everything was going good. And Lord, do you want to recheck things? And maybe you need to ask the Holy Spirit and ask Jesus, and y'all get back together again and make sure I'm supposed to go down the desert? He didn't ask him that. He got up and went. Maybe he was grateful that the people were not gnashing on him with their teeth. Maybe he was just happy not being stoned to death. Maybe he was happy just serving God. Maybe we ought to be happy we hadn't got what we deserve, a place in hell. When you get happy again, because you were happy when you got saved that you're not going to hell. When you get happy again that you're not in hell, you'll tell people about Jesus. Maybe it made him happy just to obey God. Just to earnestly ask God what he wanted him to do and then do it. That's what made Philip happy. The Ethiopian was spiritually in the dark. He needed someone to shine some light on his path. And that's what Philip did. You'll have some people sometimes and come up and ask you things about the Bible, and it's a biblical question. But if they're lost, what they need to hear is what Philip told his eunuch. Preach unto them Jesus. Get off that stuff. Don't let somebody wear you out talking about something in the Old Testament that they're never going to understand because they're lost. It's never going to point them to Christ. It's because they've got some question. A lot of people use those types of questions to put you off. I'm not saying that they all do. Maybe it's an earnest desire to understand. But some people have a list of questions that they know will take up your time, and they won't have to worry with you anymore. When they ask you that, so you know, it's okay to say, you know, I'm not sure about the answer to that. There's a lot of things I don't know in the Bible, and I say, I'm not sure. But when somebody's lost, what you need to be sure of is how to tell them to get to heaven. This eunuch needed somebody to show him how to get to heaven. He wanted to know how to worship God. And let me tell you, I believe when he came up out of that water, he worshiped God. COVID-19 is casting a dark shadow over this desert world. There is someone in the dark that needs you to shine a light. There's someone that you will meet or someone that you know that the pastor will never see unless they get saved and come to church. But he can't reach them with the gospel personally. But you can. There's somebody that God wants you to shine the light for, to show them how to worship Him. We can't worship God unless we're saved, unless we have a personal relationship with God. And we have to show people how to get that. I have three questions for you. Again, where were you when COVID-19 arrived? Now, you might be able to say, I was as close to God as I've ever been. I was doing more for God than I ever was, and I was searching for something else to do. Well, you're exactly where you need to be, and you just keep doing that. But you might have to say, you know, I really wasn't doing nothing for God. Spiritually, I was not where I was supposed to be. Well, that was when COVID-19 arrived. Where are you now? If you were doing everything you were supposed to do then, are you still doing everything you're supposed to do? If not, you need to get back to doing that. If you were not where you were supposed to be, COVID-19 is not an excuse to stay where you're not supposed to be. You can get right with God. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter where you are, who you're around. You can get right with God. You can be a Christian of good report. Now, our third question, are you shining the light for somebody else to see Christ? Are you making Christ known in your life? Are you living for Him? Are you a Christian of good report? Are you telling people Christ? Are you asking God to give you somebody to witness to? Again, He'll give them to you. He'll give them to you. I know people that they're reaching people. They're still witnessing to people. There's people still being saved. They're not coming down to the altar. They can't come down to the altar and they can't lift their hand in the pew and say, I need to be saved. And then the pastor asks them to come down and come to the altar. And the altar worker comes down and prays when they get saved. But they can still get saved if somebody shines the light. If somebody tells them the gospel. If somebody gives them the plan of salvation and tells them how to be saved, they can still be saved. So where were you when COVID-19 started, and where are you today? Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this message. Lord, I pray that You would take the Word of God, take the message, Lord, and use it, Lord, to glorify Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that we would continue on, that, Lord, we wouldn't stall, but, Lord, we would, Lord, as the saying goes, catch another gear and keep going, and, Lord, and plow through, and just keep on keeping on for You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Whoa, what a great message this evening. And, you know, as he was preaching that, a couple thoughts crossed my mind. Number one was, you know, and he mentioned this, if you're in the will of God before you go in the desert, then you have to realize the desert is the will of God. And as we're in the desert in this COVID-19, it is causing us to reevaluate our Christianity, or should be. In other words, we've had to learn that church, we say, well, we go to church to get fed. Well, you know what? The building does not feed you. It's your walk with God. We'll say, well, so-and-so got saved in church. Well, not for the last 2 months they haven't, because as he mentioned, there are still people being won to Christ. But they're not being led to the Lord at an altar in a church. And so if we study our Bible, as Brother Jimmy mentioned, there's opportunity. The Bible doesn't tell us to go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come into church. And so our responsibility is, maybe God has given us this time of COVID-19 for us to reevaluate some of the things that we think our own philosophy, in other words, that aren't biblical. Nothing wrong with somebody getting saved at church. Praise God for that. But what happens when there's not a building to come to or a church service? What does not relieve us of the responsibility of being the light? And so I appreciate the message tonight. And boy, Brother Jimmy was timely, right on time with the message. And so I hope it caused you to consider, like you mentioned, where were you before COVID-19? Now, where are you now? And we should at least be the same place that we were before, but hopefully we've gotten closer to the Lord in this time and hopefully not gone backwards. And so I appreciate the good message tonight. I know it stirred your heart. It stirred mine. Let me make a couple quick announcements and we'll be dismissed. We will be having drive-in service on Sunday morning. As I mentioned, our reopening or getting back into our building, we're planning for May the 31st, and we will let you know that process. We have created a document to hopefully give some guidance and some clarity of what our steps are going to be to do that, and we will be getting that to you shortly. And again, we appreciate those that have mailed out letters. I tell you what a great blessing that even though we're not able to necessarily do outreach how we've done it in the past, we have come up with this idea and you've got on board. We appreciate that, church family. And let me make mention, again, if you don't have a church home, come be with us in the drive-in service on Sunday, and we'd love to have you. So thank you for being here tonight. Brother Jimmy, thank you for the great message, timely. Our media guys appreciate, again, all that you do, and looking forward to the service on Sunday. So good night.